Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show, my very special guest is Chris Jericho, 7-time WWE champion and host of the popular Talk is Jericho podcast. Plus, we'll be answering your questions, what to do when your partner refuses your request to try something new in the bedroom, what not to do with sex toys, and so much more. Thanks for listening. Okay, ladies, I'm happy to tell you about the Tango by WeVibe. You've probably heard me talk about the Tango before. It's possibly the most perfect mini vibe that I've ever tried. I'm always amazed at how many ways you can use this precious and powerful little vibe. It's a lipstick shape with an angled tip, and it makes it possible to either pinpoint a specific spot or apply to a wider area depending on how you hold it. It's only 3.5 inches long, and you can use it as a clitoral vibe during solo play or during intercourse. What's most impressive about the Tango is its power. I mean, wow. I've had my Tango for years now, and I'm still blown away every time I turn it on. It has 8 vibration modes, all controlled by a single button. The rechargeable battery gives you up to 2 hours of play on a single charge. Like all my favorites from WeVibe, the Tango is waterproof, body safe, and super high quality. To add the Tango to your collection, which you totally should, just go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Tango banner, and use code Emily for a special discount.
To his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can listen to all of our podcasts. Sign up for our mailing list. Oh, and here's the thing you have to do is you have to subscribe. Do you know how easy it is to subscribe to our podcast? It's awesome. You just like click the subscribe button. You can do it in iTunes, Google Play. Oh my God, we're everywhere now. We're like on Spotify. What's the other one we just did? What's the other thing? My brain. What's the other big thing, Chris? God damn it. Google Play.
Spotify.
No, there was another one. I can't remember. But all the places you can listen to podcasts, you can do it now. And also follow me on Snapchat, Sex with Emily. I'm way into Snapchat. Twitter, Sex with Emily. Instagram, Sex with Emily. Facebook.com/Sex with Emily. All that fun stuff. And yeah, I just appreciate everyone for listening. Thank you so much. And I'm here with Chris Jericho.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi,
Chris.
Good. I'm so excited. This is amazing because I was on your podcast.
Yes, you're on my podcast. It was a huge success, by the way. People were going nuts for it. They loved the show and loved your take on everything. And so we said in return, I would do yours. And we finally were able to work it out. And here I am.
I love it. Because, like, first of all, being on your show. Okay, let's back up. So I know Chris Jericho, 7-time. I have, like, your bio here. People don't really know. How would you describe
yourself?
It's
a Wikipedia thing?
No, just, like, in everything. Like, I went to, like, Podcast One. We have your podcast. Gotcha. And I was like.
Because Wikipedia is the best because Wikipedia, like anybody can just announce, like write anywhere.
I know.
They want. So I've been dead like 3 or 4 times on Wikipedia.
Really?
Which
I'm
is
glad
weird.
You're so glad you're alive right now.
Me too. If I was dead, what a scoop you would have.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I was like, I showed up. He was dead. It was weird. I didn't do anything. He was already dead in the hotel room.
But it's like, it's interesting because you'll just show up there and it's like, hey, bro, I'm born November 9th, 1970, dead like April 23rd, 2016. I'm like, okay, first of all, that's pretty morbid. Second of all, I better be extra careful today. Because if I really did die on the day that it was predicted, it'd be pretty creepy, right?
Why do people die? I've never.
I don't know. I don't know. Why
it's
would you do that?
I don't know.
It's pretty bad, right?
Like
wishing bad vibes. So,
yeah.
Anyways, if you read on Wikipedia that I'm dead, I'm actually not.
He's so not
I'm
dead.
Alive,
he's
right.
Here, and you're the lead singer of Fozzy
yes.
Band, which
right.
is amazing. That you mm-hmm. started like a long time ago.
I've been playing in bands since I was about 12 years old. When I was a kid, I wanted to be in a rock band and I wanted to be a wrestler. Those are my two goals.
And they came true.
And they came true. Yes, here I am doing
and
that.
And a writer.
Writer.
Podcaster.
Podcaster.
You're like a quadruple
actor,
threat actor. You're like everything. Like you truly have like excelled in it all. Big sale,
big
everything.
Sale.
But this is how I met Chris. So I met Chris because we hosted the Podcast Awards.
We did in Las Vegas.
A year ago. We'd never met. We fly in and I fly in. with Norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he owns Podcast One, and we fly in and we get there and we have like an hour till the show starts. And it's like this big, like the first podcast words or maybe the first ones I really knew about. And it was a big deal because it was, you know, Chris and I. So of course everyone wanted to go. But I'm like, who is it? I don't even know him. Like, I don't know who you are. Yeah. Wrestling, which I don't really understand, which you're going to explain. And also, so we get there and we literally have an hour and I'm a chick. So like I have to change. I'm like, well, let's go meet Chris real quickly because they sent some script over that we had to follow. It wasn't really good. And like it was a very
basic kind of stock scripts, right?
And we walk in and we probably have like 40 minutes of showtime and I'm still thinking I got to get met. I got to get dressed because, mm-hmm. you know, it's important. We get there and you're like, okay, we get in the room. It's like a two of us. You kick everyone else out there who's like the producers of the podcast. Where you're like, here's the deal. I took improv. This is what we're going to do. And you start crossing things out and changing. And I'm like nervous. I didn't take improv. Okay, I took improv. But like I only showed up for half the classes. I'm like, I don't like this guy. Literally, I'm like, who is he taking over? Like, does he think he's going to be really good? And I like really went back to the room like super anxious.
Right.
And I was like, he's like rewriting it. And like, I know I didn't like it at first. And then we go on stage and we get down there. And it was awesome. We had great chemistry, great energy. And you're like, let's just roll with it. And I learned so much from that because I feel like whenever I wing things, it's so much better. My office was like, just wing it. You're good at that. I'm like, no, but I got to prepare. And then it's like, you wing it. And it was fun. And then we were like BFFs.
The thing about it is that I'd hosted a bunch of shows before and always had a lot of input into the writing of the script, so to speak, and also leaving a lot of room for improv because that's what those shows are all about. Because there's nothing worse than when you watch even something like the Grammys or something. You can tell when the guys are on stage reading exactly from the cue cards.
Right.
And it sucks.
You're so bored.
It's
boring. That's what they wanted us to do.
There's no life. Next? And the thing is, and what they had wanted us to write was just bad because I had said when Norm asked me to do this, and he mentioned that you were going to be the co-host. I was like, well, who's writing the script? And they said, well, there is no script. And I was like, you guys don't get it. There has to be some semblance of organization to this, and it has to be entertaining, or else it gets very boring very quickly. And on that show, there was, I don't know, 40 awards.
Right.
Can you imagine sitting there for 3 hours if nobody gave a shit? And it was
I'd rather sit through like the Grammys or something.
Yeah, watching literal paint dry. You know, here's the World Annual Paint Dry Awards, and you're like, yay. And so when I met you, A, I could tell that you were uncomfortable because you didn't know who I was, but B, I knew from your energy and your vibe that you'd be great.
Oh, good.
And that's why I just kept saying, don't worry about it. I got it. I'm thinking she's going to think I'm insane, but just wait until we get out there. I know how to do this. And then you just totally were there. And it actually turned out.
And it was good. And
it turned out good.
Yeah. We went drinking. We partied.
It was fun.
We met Run DMC.
Oh, yeah. DMC. Yeah. We went to see DMC perform. That was fun.
I know.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a perfect example of taking something like it's a nice challenge. Podcast awards sounds pretty cool. And then when we actually get there, we had a job to do and it wasn't easy. But once it was done, it was like, I felt like, let's go have a party.
We did, and we partied late.
It was a blast.
And it was Vegas. It was super fun. Okay, I want to get into wrestling for a second.
Because
I'm going to be totally honest here, and I might be speaking for, I don't want to be like perceived as sexist here, but I don't totally get wrestling. Like, never really been into it, don't get it. Like, is it real? What's real? What's fake? I mean, I understand that, you know, you're super athletic. You look amazing. He's super fit and hot. You should check up. We're going to take some pictures. It's National Selfie Day, so
we're
going to take selfies and
if
stuff.
There's two of you, though, it's an ussie. Is what I found.
It is? You're right.
It's called an ussie.
It wouldn't be like a selfie.
Yes. But like not everybody is into wrestling. Just not like everybody's
into
music.
I don't even know that I'm not into it. It's
or...
not that I'm not into it. I don't know it. Like, first of all, I'm not really into sports. So whenever watching sports, I'm like, what's really happening? Like, I don't. But wrestling, I just don't. Like, explain to me like.
Well, it's basically it's a modern day morality play. It's like the old school Shakespearean play of good versus evil and taking it onto the modern stage. But it has a little bit of everything for everybody. It's a live action show. It's stunts. It's good looking guys, good looking girls, bombs going off, music, drama, behind the stage, behind the scenes, in front of the crowd, comedy, everything in between. But it really is. They used to say it's a soap opera for guys. It's not a soap opera for guys. It's live action drama semi-reality show for everybody, and there's a lot of girls who are into it because if you think about it, why wouldn't you want to watch a bunch of hot half-naked guys?
Like now I just don't really like understand you know what I
the
mean
concept so, of what it is
yeah so it's like but you know so then you but then you practice beforehand
well not your, really no it's show business obviously
but it's like choreographed right
well it has some choreography to it but the best way I can describe it if you don't know about wrestling it's like being an improv comedian. We spoke
which
about
is
it
what,
earlier.
Right, which is what you practice as well.
Right. We know kind of where we want to go. We know what the opening line is, for example. We'll know what the finish is, maybe. And then we just kind of wing it and just see what is the crowd buying and play kind of volley off each other, like jazz musicians in a club where they're just jamming. Or you go see, like, I don't know, the Allman Brothers or something. And everyone just locks into a groove. And then this guy takes a solo and he goes over here and then everyone kind of follows. When you're a true professional like we are in the WWE, you don't have to practice. You just talk about it, go through it a bit, and then just go out there and see how the crowd reacts and work on it.
So you're like
that.
Reading the. So it is like acting, but
it is absolutely. It's show business. It's acting. Absolutely,
so that's,
it is
right. So
it's,
everything you do is sort of under this showbiz umbrella. Acting,
I always say
right?
wrestling is show business boot camp. If you learn, if you're good at wrestling, you learn a little bit about everything about what it takes to do any type of show business. And if you look at my, you know, we were joking earlier about all the different things
like
they do.
Literally, so many different things. I can't even. It would take me an hour to read your entire.
Yeah, but
bio.
If you look at that, it stems from the fact that it's I'm a creative person, right?
Right.
So talking about being a musician or being in wrestling, what I was always known for, I'm a good athlete. I'm not the best athlete. I'm not the. You watch some of the guys, the stuff they do, but I know how to connect with an audience. I know how to get my character across.
Explain to me about connecting with the audience. I mean, I've seen wrestling, obviously. So, like, you're giving.
But it's the same as for you. You're very successful at what you do because you connect with your audience.
I don't even know. No, but I do. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like they're not looking at me, watching me. I'm not reading them if they're happy and liking what I'm saying. Okay. Like, why isn't she asking Chris about his sex life?
I get you.
I'll get to that. Don't worry.
Don't worry. She will. But what I'm saying is that there's a certain relationship that you have with your fan base.
Right.
And when you understand that, for example, wrestling, it's a show. It's about the characters. You could go out there and have a great match with flips and flops and flies, and if there's no charisma or character touch, nobody gives a shit.
You have that.
If you go out there and have the worst match, but you have larger-than-life characters who people get behind, they're paying money to see you or they're paying money to boo you. It's like going to the movies. You know, when Johnny Depp was Captain Jack Sparrow. You went because, oh, Sparrow, oh, I love this guy. That's what it's about, is the character and the charisma and the show business.
Okay,
part of it.
So you as a young child, you grew up in Canada?
Canada, yeah. Okay. Winnipeg, Canada.
Winnipeg. So you were thinking, so you wanted to be a musician, a wrestler.
Yeah.
Actor. So which is kind
of... All connected to that, you know?
Right.
But
like, what was that, you think? How old were you when you knew? Yeah.
Pretty young, because I used to watch wrestling with my grandmother in her basement. She was a big wrestling fan. And I remember watching it, because my dad played pro hockey, played in the NHL. And I liked that, but I didn't really, even as a kid, I didn't like the concept of a team. I didn't like the concept of, like, when my dad was playing, well, this is back when they had no helmets on, but you watch a hockey game and they all have helmets. You can't really tell which guy is which.
Right.
I loved wrestling, how you knew each guy.
Right.
It was a combination of the athleticism of hockey, but the showmanship of a great front man like Freddie Mercury or David Lee Roth or something. Combine the two and you have this wrestling character. And I just thought, that's what I want to do. I just love the individuality of it combined with the sportsmanship and the athleticism as well.
Have you always been an athlete? Was it like a natural?
I'm not a natural athlete. And I always make jokes that I'm the worst athlete except for wrestling. Like I was never really good at hockey. I got cut from my high school hockey team. I remember I found out I needed glasses from playing baseball because I was like the guy in the Bad News Bears who's standing there with his glove up saying, I got it. And then it just falls right beside me. I'm like, fuck, how did I miss it? So, and even to this day, I play, you know, football with my son or my nephew, and like they're throwing balls down the field, and I can barely throw it. Like my shoulder's all messed up from 26 years of wrestling, but I just really love the character of it, and also my size. I'm not a big guy. Maybe now
you are like, but how do you work? I mean, do you work out every day? What's
no,
your...
no, I don't. Like,
how are you? Like, you're like, he's big.
Yoga
muscles.
And all this sort of stuff.
You do yoga
I do
a lot.
But the thing is, I'm big for, I guess, an average person. But in wrestling, I'm not big. Like, especially when I started, it was all about 6'8" guys that were 300 pounds and just jacked up and total, you know, muscles everywhere. And I never really was that. I'm 5'11". You know, I was always in good shape.
Right.
But I realized I could never be the biggest guy on the card physically, but I could be the biggest character. I could have the biggest amount of charisma. And that's what I really focused on.
And did you have that always as a child, or was it something you had to, like... study and get into?
I don't think you can ever really study how to have charisma, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Yeah,
no, but
I mean,
even just in life, you know, you either you have it or you don't. Like, you know, you wouldn't be as good as you are if you didn't have natural charisma, and obviously you cultivate it and work on it and learn more about it like you do. But I can remember, you know, making my own movies when I was a kid on a stop motion 8mm camera, or we used to call them air bands in high school or junior high school, which were lip syncing contests, and the school play. And I played Bill Sykes and Oliver, the evil bad guy, with a whip that I had. And I dyed my hair black, like I was making choices. And I just was always my thing. I wanted to be, you know, a creative performer, I guess.
And your parents, they support you?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, like my dad played pro hockey, like I said. So he always understood what it was like to leave home at a young age to go find your fame and fortune. And my mom, I think, was a little confused when I told her I wanted to be a wrestler, moving away at 19 to go to wrestling school. And, you know, this is like in 1990 when they're really like, what the hell's a wrestling school?
Right.
But she, I think, was cool enough to just say, if you want to do it, then go for it. So
right.
There was, you know, my parents were into it. They didn't really understand it as much. My dad always did, but mom just kind of.
So you had their support. But you just have like, you have such, it seems, I mean, you have natural talent, but it seems like you also, you just persevere and you're a really hard worker as well. I mean, the fact that you've accomplished so much, is it, are you just, what drives you? Where does that come from?
Just at a young age, it's actually pretty funny. It's something I'm actually writing a book about it right now. But it's called No is a four-letter word. And that's kind of been my motto my whole life. If someone said no, it would almost piss me off to be like,
you say no, then I want to tell you how it's done.
No is like a cuss word, you know, like a four-letter word.
Right.
And I...
that's the book title? I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think there was a documentary years ago when I watched when I was in high school. It was about music, about the heavy metal scene of the 80s. And Kiss was in it. And Paul Stanley, the singer of Kiss, was interviewed. And he said, I asked him what his motto was or something. He said, you know, the only people that tell you you can't do something are the ones that have failed. He said, I'm not going to tell you you can't do something because I did it. You can do it.
Exactly.
I just always just follow that rule. Like, if someone tells you you can't do something, it probably means that in their own pursuits, it didn't work out for them.
Absolutely.
So why should that bleed onto me? You know, it's funny because I talked to Rob Zombie on my podcast, and he's obviously a famous musician and a great filmmaker. And he was telling me when he first started making films, people were mad. Like, how can Rob Zombie be making films, you know? And he was like, they're pissed off that not only am I... He didn't say famous, but I'm paraphrasing that he's very famous in the rock and roll world.
Right.
But he's also famous and a great movie maker. Like, I haven't been able to do one of my things, and you're doing both.
Right.
That pisses me off. And I get that same flack.
Exactly. Right. No, I do too. And I always tell people that because everything I've done, I mean, I was a filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, and I remember doing this film about politics. And I'd worked in politics before that. And I was like, I'm going to do a documentary about politics. And I was like, that's a bad idea. There's already been films about politics. Who's going to watch it? These are people close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was like, wow, are they right? You start thinking, but there's something in me that's like, no, like I know, I don't know what it is. And you know, I can do this. And same with Sex with Emily. We'd be like, what? The Sex with What podcast? What do you know about it?
That's
the whole thing. And I feel like it is people who are more careful about life and mm-hmm. they need more. I get it though. We want more security and they take them more, you know, they take a more linear path. And I've definitely always been a little more circuitous figuring out my own route, but I was
good
like, yeah, I don't believe, you know, I really,
but that's the thing about too, like, I think from the moment I started doing this and same with you that led us to this moment right here is I never had like a 401k or, you know, like here's your weekly paycheck and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I did when I was in high school maybe, but I don't have a job. I have projects that I work on that could end tomorrow. You know, if who knows, right?
Right.
Who knows what could happen?
It's so scary. Exactly.
So as a result, I think you have to be a little fearless and believe in yourself. Like I can make this happen. And if I lose this job, there'll be another one because I'll make it happen.
Right.
A lot of people don't have that fearlessness and they're a little bit more scared and nervous.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So I feel like, I mean, there have been times though, because you said earlier, the people who have failed are the ones who are typically saying that. And it's like, we all fail, right?
Yeah, sure.
But then it's how you get back up. So obviously there have been failures that you've.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you have diversity, if you have longevity in, especially show business, because it is a very wonky world. And I would bet you if we could add up all of the people who have been in show business, that I bet you the average lifespan for a show business career, I bet you is 3-4 years, tops 5 years, you know, I'm going on 26 years in show business.
Pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
No, I'm really impressed by you.
And not just, well, thank you. I don't know. Huh. But not just the wrestling world, which is like so finicky. But then I also realized 10 years ago, I'm not going to be wrestling forever. I don't want to be. And I don't want to have to be behind the eight ball where my boss, Vince McMahon, is the boss of wrestling, can control my life by, oh my God, am I going to get fired? And so I started kind of branching out.
Podcasting.
You know, podcasting, which is a fairly new thing, but before that was a radio show, and then writing a book, and coming to LA, quitting wrestling, and leave of absence from wrestling, coming to LA and studying acting. really getting into the concept of what acting is. So when I went back to wrestling 2 years later, I was the most hated heel, bad guy in the whole world because I was playing this character because I had learned the rules of acting, dropping in.
Where did you study? Where you went to? You did improv?
No, there's a guy here in town. His name is Kirk Baltz, and he's probably most known for being the guy who gets his ear cut off in Reservoir Dogs, right. Marvin yes. Nash. Great actor, character actor, been in everything. And I just, we had the same agent at the time, and I just started going. I really learned about committing, you know. I went and did the Groundlings for a year at the same right? time. Talked mm-hmm. about improv. Committing to a character and believing it and making it work. And all of those things led to other opportunities and also made me better at what I did in wrestling. So even though I'd been wrestling for 15 years when I first left in 2005, when I came back in 2008, I was better than I'd ever been.
Wow, right.
To this day, up until right now, I understand the concept of playing a character, dropping in and being something and committing to it, you know? And I think all of those things have led to this this lack of fear, fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
And I've had some failures. I've done some things that just didn't work. But if you're going through a whole career bio, I bet you the Rolling Stones have made some pretty shitty albums.
Oh, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean,
over the course of 50 years, it's a pretty damn good resume. So that's kind of what I'm banking on.
Right. Okay. Well, it seems like it's working for
so
you.
Far.
Yeah. So far, so good. Yeah. So tell me about, like, so now you're in your band. So
yeah.
You still play in your band, right? You still play Fozzy.
Yeah. Fozzy is the band. And what happens is that when about 2010, I kind of felt like, okay, it's time to really go full force with Fozzy. Because before that, it was kind of a part-time thing. It was fun. It was great. But we really said we can do something with this. So wrestling kind of became less and less a priority, and Fozzy became a bigger priority. And so what basically happened over the last few years is my whole schedule is based around what Fozzy's doing.
Oh, so that's your, like, main jam.
Basically,
Fozzy.
Okay,
so I can't keep up with you. You're like, right? I'm wrestling in China this week, or Hong Kong, wherever you were.
Yeah,
you were somewhere. Well,
China next month, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Japan, yeah.
And then you're like, so that became your main.
It did. And so what happens is, like, when you're in a band, you put out a record, and then you'll tour. It's called a tour cycle. It might be 6 months. It could be 12 months. Whatever it might be. So when that's done, then you kind of go back to the drawing board and start writing. And
you write music, right?
Write music, yeah. But also there needs to be a break because you can't just go continuously. So when there's a break with the band, I'll go back to the WWE. This year, currently, it's WWE. Fozzy's off the road. September, we'll do a new record, and we'll go back out in 2017.
Okay. So
you stagger it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You're doing that. You do Fozzy, and you podcast, and wrestling and all mm-hmm. that. So what about, can we talk about your personal life?
Sure.
Okay, I'm not even going to ask. So tell me about your personal life. Married?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
But it's hard to be on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you?
Yeah.
You're on the road.
It's a tough thing to do. And, you know, there's ups and downs and all that sort of thing. But I mean, I guess when you are on the road, you just have to deal with the good and the bad.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But right. Women must, like, throw themselves at you.
Well, I mean,
like musician, like rock star, wrestler. Like,
I think when I was younger, it was awesome.
Tell me, what was
you
it
know
like?
What I mean?
Like, do you like women waiting outside? Like, you know, the groupies, the chicks?
When I first went to Mexico in 92, wrestling was really, really popular. Like, there was a boom period at that point in time going on. And the cool thing about it was I was a blonde guy. I had super long blonde hair, right?
I've seen the pictures.
Okay, seen pictures. And so you would go to these arenas and there would be girls everywhere because wrestling was really popular. It was like Beatlemania right. in a way. And then now I'm on the cover of magazines and I'm, you know, I'm on all these like TV shows and all this other stuff. And it's the first taste of real fame that I had. And so, you know, you are like a star.
How did that feel?
I was never like, I'm pretty much the same guy now that I've always been. Just you take it with a grain of salt. But it was a pretty cool feeling just to know, like, oh my gosh, like all the stories that you hear when you're
Did you love it? Like, was there up, down, drugs, all that stuff?
I was never a drug guy. Never, actually, never. I've never done cocaine in my life, you know, proud to say it. But it was, you know, there's always drinking, but it's nothing
right.
crazy. It was just life on the road. I just kind of took it as that way.
Do you get tired of it?
Not really. No, I mean, that's what I've been doing since I was 19 years old. It's
so
all
you like the moving around all the time. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty much what I do.
I like it because I get to see you when you're here.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, right, but
I mean,
really,
you understand too. I mean, you I know you travel a little bit and you're on the road and you're busy. Like, that's just how how we are. You know?
I mean, it's true. So your audience, I would say, well, I just went from your podcast. So I was on your podcast, Talk is Jericho. Everyone should check it out. It's a super popular podcast. And I didn't know, like, I knew it was a successful podcast, but when I was on it, I mean, I've been on a lot of podcasts, and it was like, I had so many people all ages hitting me up. Like, I heard you on Talk is Jericho. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I think it's amazing that you reached all these different people. Like, it was kids, you know, adult men, women. Yeah. Like, what do you think that is about you?
My fan base is very diverse. You know, it's a very diverse fan base and a very loyal fan base because I've been doing this for so long, you know, and
I mean, not every fan base is so loyal.
Well, no, exactly.
Because you keep reinventing yourself? Do you think that's what it is?
Absolutely, that's part of it.
You're not bored. Like, Chris Jericho, I don't know what's going to happen next, right?
Right. And also, there's fans of Jericho that know me from wrestling. There's fans that know me from music. There's fans that know me from, you know, TV show or whatever that I've done. And so that's another element as well. Dancing with the Stars was a whole different vibe.
Dancing with the Stars, how was that?
I mean, it was great. It was really hard.
You made it, though. Like,
yeah,
to like
7 weeks.
7 weeks.
7 weeks, right?
That's not bad. Well, I guess dancing and wrestling, right?
There was a lot of similarities. Like, wrestling is very much choreography and being light on your feet. Being a musician is very much understanding the syncopation of a beat. If you want to get technical, being ahead of the beat, being behind the beat. So combining those two, I was like the perfect guy for it,
yeah.
You know? But I think, going back to what you asked me, there's a very loyal fan base. So when I do my show, when our mutual boss or, you know, leader mm-hmm. of podcast one, Norm Pattis, I said, listen, I'll do it, but I do not want to do a wrestling show exclusively.
Right.
Because that would drive me crazy.
I was just listening to your Dana Carvey interview on the way home. Amazing. Yeah.
Great, right?
So good. And I love him.
And that's the thing I love about podcasts, is that it gives me the incentive to go and, like, okay, I need to track down these different people. And, you know, and I had Dennis Miller on, and then I asked Dennis, hey, man, do you have any contacts for Carvey? I'll get Carvey for you. Then Carvey's on. So I get a chance to talk to these people that I'm fans of, friends with, like when you came on, someone I get to know better.
We just kind of chilled. It was great. And it was a really good, you're a really good interviewer, I thought, too.
Well, thank you.
Like, do you prepare?
I don't prepare, and this is the reason why it works. If you and I just meet each other on the street, in a bar, or whatever, and we're having a conversation, there's no list of questions. There's no preparation. It's
true.
Just talking to each
other. I know. Sometimes I've learned over the years, like, I have like a few things in front of me, like, ask this, but basically I can't. Like, it's too much.
Right.
Way too much.
A guy like Dana Carvey, I don't have to have any preparation because I've been a fan of his for 30 years. And also knowing, and this is a big thing too, Emily, you'll understand this. I know what it's like to get asked the same questions over and over again. And I know what it's like when somebody isn't, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but if they're not a pro, like, cause you know, we have a rule with Fozzie. There's no interview gets turned down. If I can't do it, then there's four other guys in the band. But I'll get guys sometimes, because I usually am like at the top level. Like, I'll get the big ones. But sometimes guys will squeak through and they'll pull out the piece of paper from the pocket and smooth it on the ground.
Right.
So how did Fozzie start?
Right.
And it's like, oh my gosh.
I hope,
like,
I didn't ask you that.
No, you didn't. And even if you did, it would be fine. But like, because you get this, like, that's what you want to ask me after all this time.
Right, exactly.
And that's the best you got.
That's what you came up with.
So,
but what about, so people come up to you wherever we go, like, I know we've been out to dinner or podcast, like, what do you ever get tired of that? Things recognized? Like, you can't really be incognito in the way you look.
Yeah, I mean, my
do you love it?
Opinion is like, if people don't ask you for a picture and autograph, then there's problems.
That's
that means,
true.
You know,
that's right. That's like sort of, you're still valid.
Right.
People still know me. What was so great, another thing I was going to say is, because your fan base is that my best friend in Michigan, this was like the best thing you did. She was like, oh my God, her son is 17 and he said, Mom, I listened to Chris Jericho's podcast, and Emily, he knows that we're best friends. Mm-hmm. He said, Emily was on, and don't worry, I didn't listen to, because it's about sex. I didn't listen to, maybe he was 16, 17. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but, and I'm sure he did, but how does she know him? And oh my God, he was going through a rough year, and he's like, he changed my life this year. He gave me so much inspiration, and it's like 17 years old. I'm like, how does he know? You know, so that, obviously.
It's just cool, yeah. But it's funny, because right now
and you would send him a little video, and
right,
it like changed his life.
Yeah. I do that for anybody that asks, can I get a picture signed? I'll just send a video.
Right.
It's easier for me.
Yeah,
and
who
I think
has time to go to the post office?
But I also think it's probably, if I was a fan, I would think that would be pretty cool to get that.
Yeah.
You know, like a living,
no,
breathing,
like,
thing.
He freaked out.
But
like,
I'm also
the best friend of the year. You know,
yeah, right.
Because of you.
But I'm a bad guy now, and so I have a rule when I'm a bad guy. I really commit to it. I don't let the company make merchandise with my name on it. I don't.
What do you mean you're a bad guy now?
In wrestling,
I'm the bad guy.
Villain.
Oh, right.
I'm
villain,
the villain.
Right.
So whenever we're anywhere, if I fly into an airport and there's a bunch of fans waiting around, I say no. Just ignore them.
Oh,
don't even
that's,
look
you
at
have
them.
To, but doesn't that kill you? Do they know that's your
it
thing?
It does kill me, but I don't think they do. But I can't take the chance of signing an autograph and then 2 hours later at the arena and everyone's booing me and they're going, oh, he's a really nice guy. Yay. I want everybody to boo me.
So they think all of a sudden you've become like sour and bitter, like yeah. when you were the really nice guy. So you're but, actually playing this role.
If
okay,
I'm
this
in
is confusing
the,
to me.
If I'm in the vicinity of where the show is, where the fans are, if we walked out on the street right now and there was 18 fans, I'd sign all the autographs and it'd be great. But if we were at the Staples Center and I'm walking in to do my show.
Yeah, you gotta stay in your role.
I do. A lot of people don't. But you know, here sometimes like Jared Leto, for example, is Joker in the new Suicide Squad.
Right.
And I guess the rumor is that he didn't talk to any other actors and didn't allow them to call him anything but Joker. That's a guy who's super committed.
Right, no, I get
might
that.
Might be a pain in the ass to some, but that's how he gets his magic. And I have the same attitude when I'm in the area where we're going to be working.
So what right now that you're doing, do you love the, if you had to only pick one thing, like the podcasting, the singing, the
yeah,
wrestling?
I mean, I love when I get asked that sometimes because I really, the
no,
beauty
you
of it
this.
Is,
forget it, don't answer.
No, the beauty is I don't have to.
I know you don't have to. I would,
that's
see,
the
I
cool thing about it
either.
Is, right?
Yeah, totally get
when
it.
You build up your brand in that aspect, it's like you are control it. You call the shots. You know, and that's a pretty cool place to be in. And I know you're there. You call all your own shots even more than I do in a lot of ways.
I do.
Is the best way to be.
But it's so hard. You're right. It is the best.
But
way
you got to hustle.
Dude, I'm always hustling. Yeah. So tired. Right. Like, it means a lot, though. But I love. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
But it was not easy. These last 11 years have not been easy at all. So you're married. Let's go back to that. It's a sex show, and I don't know how much you're gonna. I mean, I feel like sex.
Right.
Long term marriage. How do you keep it together? You're traveling.
Well, I mean, traveling. I think if you spend time apart, that's probably a good thing. But it's also can be a bad thing if it's too much time apart. A lot of times, like I'll go away for weeks on the road, especially if we're touring with Fozzy over to Europe. And you know, I have three kids, so there's a lot of. You know, a lot of stuff going on when there's three kids. A lot of stuff to do. But
it's hard to keep it in, you know, the romance alive and interesting when there's so many kids around.
Right. I mean, and so you really have to balance your family life with your work life and really make sure that you take time when you're home to spend that time.
Right.
Especially with kids. You know, like I said, like in the days of you know, traveling the world in my 20s, it was like, you know, you talk about rock star stuff, it's like, you know, how many girls can you have in a week, right? Just because that's just what you do. And then after a while you're like, it's not like I was never just about like just wild sex.
Never?
Not I always liked having like a connection, you know what I mean? Like,
right, you're like an emotional sensitive guy.
I wouldn't even go that far. I just, to me, sex is more fun when you had something more than just like sex. Okay, sex is great. But what if you have a chance to like hang out first or, you know, go have dinner or something like that? And I think maybe a lot of that is because you have a lot of fans that just wanted to have sex with you, which is cool. But it does kind of.
What makes great sex?
You're kind of treated
too?
like a piece of meat.
When you think
you know?
Like great sex, like what does that mean?
I think there's a vibe and a connection that you have. That, like I said, there's been super pretty girls that I've met that you have no attraction to because they're not sexy. And there's been other girls that you meet who maybe aren't the, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, Victoria's Secret model, but you're just super attracted to them.
So what makes sex, how do you describe sexy? What makes a woman sexy?
Attitude. Absolutely attitude. You know, especially in this day and age when, okay, a girl can go get, you know, fake tits or go get you know, big lips or go even get like a fake butt, which is, still blows my mind,
right.
The concept of that. But it's, there's an attitude that you have and a confidence that exudes. You know what I mean? Like, you, it's like, you know, you could, this, the term sexual tension, that's a real thing. Like, when you have sexual tension with somebody, that's the best thing that you can have. And it's weird because sometimes, like, sometimes you have it just with people that you would never expect.
Right, exactly. It just shows up. You're like, I would never be attracted to that person. And then
I just remember one time, like, this is not even a big deal, but I was walking through the airport and the TSA lady, she's probably 50. And just for some reason, there was just this vibe that she had where I was like instantly attracted to her. Like, I've never banged a 50-year-old and it's not on my list of things to do, but fuck, she's fucking sexy.
Right.
You know, I remember we with our band, we had a we did a photo shoot a few years ago and there was a makeup girl there. And we were all just kind of being cool and she's doing the makeup and all this stuff. And then I remember I was just talking to one of the guys in the band, or one of the guys in the band, he said, like, man, she's sexy. He's like, you think so? I was like, I thought I was the only one. And then all the other guys in the band were like, man, yes, she's so sexy. And it wasn't like the typical, it was just this really cute girl, but just this attitude.
It was sort of the way she talked, the way she carried herself. Smart, funny.
Yes. And to me, that is the real secret to sex appeal is the confidence that you have.
Yeah, that's true. What's a turn off for you for a woman, with a woman? If you like met someone, you're like, she's great, but
I think lack of self confidence. You know, I'm fat. I'm so fat. Like every girl says that, but
they do.
You know, I just never really like. You should own it.
Own your body. You know? Own right.
If you're 5 pounds overweight or 5 pounds underweight or whatever it may be, it's like. You know, I've seen like bald chicks that maybe they had to cut their hair because they had cancer, or maybe they just, I don't know, whatever reason, but it's just, you know what
so
I mean?
True. And how do you, okay, so you had this comment. I mean, it sounds like you were kind of born with that, but there must have been things in your childhood that obviously that gave you this confidence and the longevity with the confidence, the fact that, I'm going to say that again. I mean, I think in some ways you are born with it, but it, you know, nature, nurture, but there are ways that you had like maybe a supportive upbringing, or maybe you had a lot of hard knocks that, and you're like, I'm going to keep getting back up again. The number one piece of advice I often give is like, you know, the sexiest thing is confidence. Like for guys who have like a hard time talking to women and all that. How would you describe to someone or teach someone how to be more confident, like a young guy listening or a young woman?
I think like you just said so much in one sentence.
I always do, right?
But in a good way. Like it's not just about... Like, yes, confidence for sex appeal and confidence to talk to a girl, but just confidence in everything. You know what I mean? Like, just confidence to know that, like, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. You know what I mean?
It's so like, true. Getting to that point, like, where you really don't care. Right. You really don't care.
You don't care. And I mean, even like, I'm not, this is really trivial, but like, for example, I love scarves. Like, I like wearing scarves. I just like, I don't know why, I just like it. It's cool.
Accessories. Cute,
and
yeah.
Accessories.
I've seen you rock the scarves.
Yeah,
you
I wear scarves all the time. Awesome. I don't, you know, people will be like, actually use it as my bad guy character in the WWE now wears scarves all the time. And people are like, what's up with the scarf? I just like the vibe of it, and I don't care if people don't like it. To me, it's cool because I'm wearing it.
Right. You know? And you liked it, and you don't.
Sure. But I mean, yeah, just the advice, long story short, is just have the confidence, believe in yourself. And just know, like, if you're doing something and you believe it and you want to do it, then do it. And if someone doesn't like it, don't worry about it.
You don't need approval.
Yeah.
It's true.
I learned early on to eliminate negativity.
How do you do that? Because most of it comes from our brain, right?
It does. But a lot of it comes from people.
Eliminate the people in your life.
Brain. And so those people, like, you hate to be so cold, but I eliminate them.
I do too.
I don't like negative people. And if I have to deal with them, it's with no real, you know, real care.
Right. People so, who just give you that uncomfortable, like, every time you see it, you dread it. Like, I decided this year I had a birthday and I was like, you know what? I don't want to have a birthday. I've said this on my show before, I think, but where I have any shoulds. Like, there shouldn't be anyone like, oh, I got to invite this person because of this, or they make me anxious when they show up because I got to talk. No. Those are the people that, I'm not saying you cut them out tomorrow, but... There's something to be said for like life is pretty short, and you should surround yourself
absolutely.
By people that make you feel the best. That
That's
make
right.
you that support you, that aren't jealous and aren't, you know, there's no reason that you have to keep people around, really, if they don't
exactly,
bring out your
exactly.
best self.
You're right. Like at this point in my life, you know, with all the stuff that I've done and all the stuff that I want to do, and it doesn't matter what you've done, it's just being through the experience that I've been through, I don't have time for somebody like, let's say I text somebody, whoever. And they don't text me back. And then I text them again. They don't text me back. It's like, I don't have time to chase you, man.
Right.
Or, well, man, you know, if you want right. to respond, great. But if not, I'm going to have to say bye.
Exactly.
And that, because, you know, there still is an element, I think, sometimes of you know, you want to chase people or get their attention or get their, you know, their responses. And it's like, after a while, if they don't get back to you, you know, like you're talking about somebody that's breaking up with a girl or something. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine just... got dumped a couple of years ago, and he just couldn't stop texting. I was like, dude, just stop it.
Right.
It makes you look worse. If you don't text her for a month and she finally texts you, well, then maybe.
Well, that's so interesting, though, because you get that. So many people would think, well, they didn't text me back. I'm a bad person. And they get more obsessed, but you're like, forget it.
Right.
Moving on. Done.
Right.
Which is such a great, and we have a choice when these kind of things happen to us. We can choose to keep chasing the person or to feel bad about ourselves or obsess why they don't like us. So you could say, well, don't need them in my life. There you go. Moving on. There's so many other people.
That's right. There's other people out there. Yeah, exactly. You can't force it.
Chris Jericho, I'd love you to help me answer some emails from my listeners.
Wow. Questions from your listeners? Nice.
Yeah. Do you mind?
Sure.
Okay. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, I know you heard me talk about getting stressed out when it comes to packing. I have major pack anxiety. Like, it's a problem. I should see a doctor. I always wait till the last minute. I'm never sure what clothes to bring, but there's one thing, and it's always in my bag. The Mystic Wand from Vibratex. It's truly one of my favorite travel companions. The Mystic Wand features all my favorite things about massage wands: a soft, flexible head, plenty of power, and the perfect shape for external stimulation. Our friends at Vibratex took all that and packed it into a compact handheld model that is perfect for home or travel. And besides its discreet look and size, the Mystic Wand is also extremely quiet. So you don't have to worry about strange looks from the TSA, the people in the hotel room next door. You know what I'm saying. The Mystic Wand is conveniently powered by four AA batteries, showerproof, and of course, 100% body safe. Three vibration settings, three power levels, which are unbelievably strong. Trust me. To learn more about Mystic Wand from Vibratex, click on the Mystic Wand banner on the Sex with Emily page today. Thanks for listening. Okay, Chris, these are questions. These are sex and relationship questions.
Let's do it. Listeners.
Ready? You in? Okay. Thanks, everyone, for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I love hearing from you. And also, with our new website, you can ask a question straight from there. You just go to the Ask Emily, send the question, boom, it's right there. So easy. Also, don't forget, include your name, where you're listening from, and how you listen in your email. Okay. God, what would be good for you? Chris Jericho.
Do you have a bunch questions. Of them?
Okay. Yeah, I have so many of them. We're not going to get through them all. Okay. But, hi, Emily. I heard about your show when I was listening to the Conrad and Jack show. Conrad was saying how you helped his marriage because it gave him advice on how to communicate with his wife. I'm a new listener of yours, so forgive me if you've answered this before. I'm trying to catch up. I'm 27 and have a boyfriend. We have great sex, but I really get turned on by watching men masturbate. He knows that I like this. I've asked him to do it for me, but he says it's too uncomfortable. So for now, I'm stuck just watching porn. Is there any way I can convince him to do this? I'd love to be able to mix mutual masturbation into our sex life. Thanks, Ashley. Mm-hmm. Now, mutual masturbation is one of my favorite sex tips for couples, because here's the thing about it. Have you ever done a mutual masturbation?
Yeah, it's hot.
Right? It's totally hot, right? Sure it is. Not only is it hot, because we're all visual, we love that, but also you're watching your partner please himself, so you know exactly how he likes to be touched. He can see how she wants to be touched. Oh, she moves her fingers diagonally across her clitoris, or, you know, he's going up and down and touching his butt, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So you can learn from it. And so I think it's a great tool, and it's hot. And her boyfriend won't do it.
Well, I think what the thing is with her boyfriend is that it goes back to the confidence. You know what I mean? We're talking about this confidence that you have to have. If you're having sex, you have the confidence to know that, you know, you're doing a good job, man. You know, you should have that confidence. It's just like people that only want to have sex with the lights out. I never understood that. Maybe not super, like, bright, shining, but some lights, you want to see what's going on.
I know. I always tell them, like, have some candlelight if you don't like the bright lights. Yeah, but you got to see it.
That's hot, right?
I can't have sex in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, because then you're just having, exactly, you're just having sex for the sake of the sex act, which is what we talked about. There's no feeling behind it or connection. Whereas I think the masturbation thing, it's like, if he watches porn, which I'm sure he does, all guys do, you know, it's like when you pull out in the porn, the guy's jacking off before he shoots his load all over the girl's tits or whatever. I mean, that's a cool moment.
Right, exactly.
Right? Like, that's what
but
you
want to
do.
But how does she get him? Ashley, I think, I'm not sure why he says he's too uncomfortable. So I think it's the kind of thing where you got to ease him into it. I would just say, I want you to watch something, Ashley. And I would lay down on the bed and I would just start masturbating. I wouldn't even talk about it and just start masturbating.
Right.
And then be like, no, you can't touch me. Just watch.
And then maybe here's another one, though. So then maybe she can jack him off.
Right.
Masturbate him. And then put his hand on it.
Exactly.
And then, like training wheels on a bike, you take your hand away and just let him go.
Right. So exactly.
Right.
I love it. So don't talk about it anymore, Ashley. Next time he comes home or whatever, if you live together, just be like, oh, start masturbating and then say, you can't touch me. I just want you to watch. Yeah. And then say, you know, he's going to get turned on. He's going to get a boner. Let's be honest.
Yes.
It'll happen. The boner will happen. And if he doesn't do anything, take it out. Have him put his hand on it.
And tell him Jericho says, you have
Jericho
to stroke
knows,
your cock
he's a
in front
stud,
of him.
Okay. That's a great answer. Okay. Hey, Emily, I just want to start off saying I'm a 22-year-old straight female from Massachusetts, and I listen to your podcast on iTunes. My boyfriend and I have been together 8 months, and I've been having sex since the second date. We've had a great sex life, but as of late, he's been getting leg cramps during sex, which really kills the mood. He eats bananas and drinks plenty of water to avoid it, but it keeps happening, and it's really effing bumming me out. How can I help him try and stay in the mood when this keeps happening? Thanks in advance, Sarah. Leg cramps. I just thought you'd know because you're an athlete.
Well, here's the thing. It's actually funny that you say that, because when I was I remember like maybe when I was in my 20s or something like that, when I used to like not want to have sex too quickly, right? It was like I was kind of this thing, like I wouldn't just want to jump into it. And I used to, like, if it was getting too hot and heavy, I would feign a leg cramp. Or if I was getting into it so much that I prematurely ejaculated,
right,
I would feign a leg cramp.
You'd be like, sorry, ejaculating because it.
Yeah, but you no, I wouldn't even say that. Like, oh, my leg is killing me. I got to try walking off and go to the bathroom and, like, wipe it up or whatever. So, I mean, there was maybe he's feigning the leg cramp to get out of sex.
They've been together 8 months. He's been getting, wow, that's a good point.
That's just me, though.
No, but, like, here's the thing.
Because leg cramps.
Like, stretch. Every go to time. Yoga. Go to your doctor every single time he gets a leg cramp. Is this, and I'm thinking, yeah. Is it in the middle? Because if it's in the middle, that's a good point. He could be avoiding something.
Maybe
he could be, there could be something going on in his head where he can't focus. Maybe he's losing his erection or right. He feels like he's about to ejaculate. Because to me, if you're a guy and you're having sex and something happens, anything at all that's going to interrupt it, most guys, 22 years old, I'm assuming he's 22, like she's 22, and they've been together 8 months, they're going to figure out a way not to get that leg cramp. Like, right. What, do you stretch? Like, what do you mm-hmm. do?
Well, I mean, I'm not besieged by leg cramps, so I don't really know
how to. No, but I'm just saying, like, you can get rid of
I guess stretch, do some yoga maybe, or just maybe don't do that position when you're having sex. I mean, like, my thing is, how many leg cramps are you getting every time you're having sex?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I don't understand what you're exactly. Are you guys swinging from the rafters? Yeah, are you using cuffs?
Back bridges, like, why is it, or what's right, going
like,
on
what
here?
Is going on here? I want to know. I kind of think it's something else, too. And here's my thing. If it keeps happening, Sarah, like I just think that then he's not respecting you in the relationship because sex is really important and you've been together 8 months and if it keeps happening, then like it's on both of you. It's really on him, but you can help him figure out like, well, go to the doctor, get stretched, do something differently. Like,
right.
He should want to solve this problem as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure where it's coming from. Like sometimes you can orgasm, things can happen. I'm not sure if it's right after sex, but it sounds like it's in the middle. And I think this might be some kind of psychosomatic leg cramp.
Maybe.
So I would not go after him and say, hey, Emily said you're faking it and something else. I would say, babe, maybe we shouldn't have sex for a while. Maybe you could take sex off the table. If it's just when you're having intercourse, sometimes it's really fun just to be like, you know what? Let's not have like intercourse, but let's just play with each other. Let's just do foreplay. I mean, I would take sex off the table. And then when you bring sex back, if it happens again, you could just say, you know, I love you. And like, I think we got to figure this out because our sex life is really, really important. And I would not say it in the bedroom because that can kill it. Talking about sex
sure,
in the bedroom.
Like it kill your confidence.
Totally. So I would say it one day casually, not we have to, not like we need to talk like in that tone, which just bums you out. But just like, hey, babe, you know, I love our sex life. It's great. But this leg crab thing, like I really feel like I need to connect with you and we need to have some sex is really important to me. And so like, let's figure out what it's about. Mm-hmm. I'll go with you to the doctor. Let's do something because this really isn't okay. What do you think it's about? Because it's
killing
been 8 months.
Vibe.
Killing the vibe. Totally get it, Sarah. Let's do one more.
Sure.
How's that, Chris? Okay. Dear Emily, I'm a 26-year-old male from New York City. I recently started listening to your show on Spotify. My question is in regard to toys. I love using toys during sex and the girls I'm dating love it too. The problem is I'm dating multiple people. They all know that we are an exclusive, and I'm a little confused about toy etiquette. I clean the toys thoroughly after use, but I don't really know people have an issue using a toy that's been used in someone else. Unfortunately, Chris has a face. I can't exactly go and buy new toys for each new partner since they're expensive. The magic wand, some bondage stuff. Should I expect the woman to buy their own toys? When breaking up with ex-girlfriends, I just gave them the toys so I wouldn't have to deal with the issue, but now I'm doing casual hookups. I'm not sure what to do. Thanks for your help, Brooklyn. Ever had this problem?
No, I have not ever had this problem. This mm-hmm. sounds very rapey, shall we say.
Rapey.
It's very creepy and a little bit scumbag. Oh. It's like my thing is like if you had a toothbrush that you were using, would you want someone else to use it?
No.
Oh, but I washed it off under the water. I mean, it just seems like a toy should be a one-person thing.
And it is.
Right?
Yes. Here's the thing, Brooklyn. I very strongly, like when I read this, I'm like, oh, God, no, you cannot. And I'm sorry. I know they're expensive. You cannot whip out a toy. First of all, in this day and age, even though, you know, 80% of women have used a vibrator and half of those have used it with a partner, sex toys are ubiquitous. You just can't. You cannot whip out a sex toy from your drawer because the woman's going, where has he used that? Where has that been? What do you mean you washed it? I know how guys wash things.
Well,
you
if you're that forward, if it's a casual hookup and the first thing you're doing is bringing out a vibrator,
right?
That's going to kind of put a weird slant on things.
Right, exactly. You know? And it's the kind of thing that you want. You might want to, like, if you're dating these people, say, hey, have you ever used a toy before? And then say, why don't you bring over your favorite one? I love toys next time.
If she has one, fine.
That's a great way to find out. Say, I think it'd be really hot to use a vibrator with you. Do you have any? Bring one over. But honey, I'm telling you, Brooklyn, you cannot use them with multiple partners. Take it from one with multiple toys. Although I can use it because it's me and they're my toys. But you can't. Maybe if it's like bondage gear or like lube, which isn't really a toy. But you can't.
Lube's like toothpaste. Use it, it's done.
You can use my toothpaste, not my toothbrush. It's not like if you have a fleshlight, I get it. It's for your penis and she could use it on you. Just like with my toys, a guy can use them on me. And I would think it's really suspect. Even if they know that you're hooking up with a bunch of girls, it's kind of like rubbing the face. Like this guy's got like
a bunch
of, got other panties in your drawer too that you want me to
this.
Wear?
Let me ask you this, Brooklyn. What would you do if she pulled out a butt plug? And let's say you're into butt plugs. And she said, there, let me use this butt plug. Would you be fine in using someone else's butt plug?
Right.
No.
You got, honey, I'm Brooklyn. Yeah. You got to get
it. Come on, Brooklyn.
Use them on yourself.
Kick
you
back to Queens if you don't pull up your pants here.
Exactly. I love it. Or take them, you know, you could go shopping before the date and go to somewhere. You live in New York? No, he's from Brooklyn. No. His name's Brooklyn. He lives in New York. Go to Babeland in New York. Go shopping with the person. Get a cheap bullet beforehand. Do something. The bullet vibe. But no, you can't do it. I'm really glad you asked.
Yes, we were definitely saying no to that.
That's we agree on this. Have you ever used sex toys?
Not really. No? Yeah, not
at all. But you would? You'd be open?
Yeah, sure. I'm open for it. Yeah.
What's your number one sex tip?
One sex tip is, once again, the confidence is there. And I think kissing is very important. Very important.
Kissing is like the first thing that go in long-term relationships often.
Really?
Yeah, people stop kissing.
See, I get aroused by kissing.
Right.
And if someone wanted to have sex and didn't want to kiss, I don't know if I could keep it going.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, I don't understand that. Like,
I don't understand either.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's
first
true.
Thing like, to go.
Not the first, but one of the things that goes is because people just start skipping foreplay when they're in a relationship for a long time. Like, this is what I do. I get naked, you get naked, you stick it in, we're done, we overwatch Netflix. Yeah, but you really,
like
foreplay,
that.
Especially for everyone, but women, you know, we need that warm-up time. And the kissing is a great, it's so intimate.
But there's nothing less sensual or less motivating if you're trying to have sex with a woman and she doesn't have some lubrication. You know, if she's completely dry and you're just trying to shove it in, it's like, it's pretty gross, man.
It is gross.
You know,
it's
very barbaric.
Right.
You know?
Warm her up.
Right.
Right.
Because it's no fun for you either.
Right. Chris, you're a good man.
You know?
Yeah.
I see, like, when I watch, like, Game of Thrones or something, they're just banging these chicks. I'm like, how are you getting pleasure out of that? It's like sandpaper.
Right.
Right?
God, I wish more men looked at it that way. You're an amazing man. Everyone, you got to follow Chris, so tell me where.
Where am I following? Twitter.
I got it here. Twitter is...
I am Jericho, and Instagram is Chris Jericho Fozzy,
and
Talk is Jericho is the podcast.
Yeah, it's an awesome podcast.
Yeah,
check
you.
It out. Check out Fozzy. Check out wrestling.
Check out whatever you want. Doesn't matter. We're all cool. Check out Emily's stuff. Is the best way to do it.
Yeah,
the queen of sex.
The queen of sex. I'm working on it. Okay, everyone. I love hearing from you. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Madison, Lori, and Jamie, my amazing team. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, guys. Are you looking for a way to mix up your masturbation routine? Well, let me tell you about the number one sex toy for men, and really, the only one you want. The Fleshlight. It's a masturbation sleeve that you use solo or with a partner that simulates the sensations of real sex and was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. There's a Fleshlight for every man's needs. And now, there's a new addition to the Fleshlight family, the Quick Shot. It's an open-ended male masturbator, has the patented super skin material, but the Quick Shot is smaller, easier to handle, and requires way less cleanup. It can be used solo or with a partner to take handjobs and blowjobs to the next level. I think that for every woman who has a sex toy, every man should have one of these. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, and use code EMILY to get a free bottle of their award-winning Flesh Lube. Check it out. You'll thank me.